Return to Czechoslovakia. In the 1920s, Welza lives more on the American side of the Bering Sea than the Russian side. At this time, something completely changes his life. After the mysterious sinking of the Seven Sisters ship on the north coast of Alaska, Welza gets into trouble. After the shipwreck, he loses all his equipment and the belongings of the other hunters. The U.S. authorities begin to look for him as well. At this time, the First World War is over. Russia becomes a powerful country, and its influence extends to the furthest point of the former Tsarist Empire. The Red Scare breaks out in America, characterized by fear of communists, assassinations, and spies. The migration policy becomes tight. After the shipwreck, Welza loses all his documents, but he couldn't have had any documents from before anyway. Another problem is his lack of language skills. But he knows how to get around among different nations, and he is always able to communicate with them. As he mixes all the languages, he can't speak any language well at all. Communicating to survive out in the Arctic is much different than speaking in the U.S. court. When he decides to defend himself in court on his own terms, his fate is sealed. Suspected of spying, he is deported from the U.S. and sent to Hamburg. Here he lives again very poorly. Welza was taken out of his life in the wilderness, and he doesn't know how to live in a modern world anymore. He sells vegetables and draws paintings of the polar landscape. By coincidence, his stories draw the interest of some officials from the Czechoslovakian consulate, and eventually he starts a correspondence with Rudolf Tesnohlídek. It is him who saves Welza's stories. Out of Welza's highly confusing letters, he is able to compile a first book. It was very difficult to comprehend Jan's native language. Rudolf Tesnohlídek begs him, "Mr. Welza, please, don't write your letters in Czech, but use some other language that you know well." While working with Tesnohlídek, Welza learns that he can be paid for sharing his stories. He uses this money to travel to Canada, but then he comes back and decides to see Czechoslovakia. In 1928, he arrives in Prague and draws the attention of the media. He is even invited to meet the president of the country, Thomas G. Masaryk. After that, he visits his native Zabrze. Here, he meets his childhood friends and everywhere he tells stories. His adventures are published in the newspaper Moravian North. Welza, however, also receives scorn and mockery. It is no wonder. A man full of tales of adventure from Siberia, Alaska, and Yukon bursts into a quiet town. He behaves generously but a bit boorishly and is not acceptable to an entrenched small town. Bedřich Kolomek finds Welza and invites him to Brno to cooperate on a new book. Welza dictates his new book and gives lectures that Golombek and Valenta selflessly organize for him. Welza is an excellent and tireless storyteller. Jaroslav Franke remembers Jan's lecture in the community hall of Zabrze in December 1928 as follows. There was a huge, robust man with a caring face sitting on the stage. He looked old and time-worn, but I was persuaded that thanks to his vitality, he will be able to head north again and that he will be able to take care of himself. He spoke convincingly and shared many details. His stories were full of energy. His eyes were glowing. I believed everything that he said. I was gobbling it all in. Writers Golombek and Valenta recorded hundreds of Jan's stories. Then they propose a contract that would render them all the publishing rights. Jan doesn't fully understand the content of the contract, and they offer him some good cash. In order to leave for the North again, he signs the contract and gives up all the publishing rights and the resulting possible income from the future book sales. After an 8-month stay in Czechoslovakia, he leaves for the Arctic. Welza resists the modern lifestyle, but he does gain some weight. But as a world traveler, he feels suffocated. When he turns 60, he travels back to the north. Upon his departure, he gives a goodbye to his friends, saying, "Goodbye, we will never see each other again." And he was right. His last long trip ends in Dawson City. It still is a harsh town in the north during this time, but he wants to go on. The lack of money or visa, however, prevent him to continue his journey to the Novosibirsk Islands. Wellesley gets stuck in this fading gold rush town, previously called the Paris of the North. By now, it is way past its glory. Here he spends the last 20 years of his life.